it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, welcome to episode 5 of the Hockey News on the Dub podcast, brought to you by BetMGM. I'm Carol Schramm, and with me, as always, is our WHL expert, Liz Child. This week, we've got news and notes from the recent U17 championship, the week's WHL headlines, including a ton of player movement. The Nashville Predators are our NHL team of the week, and we'll have a little bit of a variation on our goalie spotlight this week, along with, of course, our weekly Connor Bedard report. So let's get into it. What have you been up to this week, Liz?
Honestly, this week has been all San Jose Barracuda for me. It's been a lot of just games. Literally, I think they've had 5 games in 7 days last week, and then they had another 2 or 3 games this week. And it's been a time, but it's been really exciting. And I'm excited to get back into some WHL stuff this week now.
Excellent. And I had a very prospect-heavy week out at U17. I was able to get out to the Fraser Valley for 3 days, including the medal day. So I got to see 2 very exciting 16-year-old phenomenons from Team USA and James Hagans and Cole Iserman, and see their excitement right after they won their first gold medals in their USA jerseys. So that was fun. They both broke the existing tournament scoring record that goes back to 2014. And Iserman's 12 goals in the tournament also ties some guy named Alex Ovechkin for the tournament goal
scoring. Casual things.
Yeah, no big deal. So that might be a name that you want to remember. And even though it's pronounced Iserman, but it's spelled E-I-S-E-R-M-A-N. So he's got some good connections to top end players as far as that all goes too. As far as players from the Dub, I didn't get to see Canada White, but I did get to see Canada Black 3 times, and I got to see Canada Red twice. And after Canada Red's win that sent them through to the gold medal game, I had a brief chance to speak with Berkeley Catton from Spokane and to Tiege Aginla from Seattle. They're both super excited, obviously, about the opportunity to play for a medal. And when I asked them just very quickly about their experiences in the Dub so far this year, Berkeley was effusive about everything that's happened and very excited about the way his season has gone so far. And as you might expect from a kid that's been around high-level hockey his whole life, Tiege Aginla was a lot more grounded about the whole situation and gave me the old, I just want to focus on the gold medal game tomorrow, if that's okay.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
it's bred in for sure. It was just a ton of fun. It was really cool to see these 16-year-olds kind of take their first steps on the international ice surface, if you will. And definitely some names to watch out for as we go ahead. So it was well worthwhile. Now let's get into this long list of news and transactions that we had going on this week in the Dub. Take it away.
Yeah, it's been a big week. You know, the Blazers, I feel like every week we should just call this the Kamloops Blazers podcast because I just say their name 30,000 times. But the Blazers made a trade with the Edmonton Oil Kings, and they received Shea Van Olm. Van Olm is one of those guys that, every time you hear his name, you're like, oh yeah, Shea Van Olm. Okay. I know who that is. I know who you're talking about. But then as long as you're not talking about him, you just kind of go, wait, who? And I think he's going to be like a consistent depth piece. It's a good pickup, I think, for the Blazers, but it's not one of those that's going to sit there and be like, oh man, he's going to make an immediate big impact on this team. They did only trade a conditional 7th in 2024 for him. So it's not like that's going to be, some big make or break. Oh, man, this is going to be the worst trade that they had this season. And then they went out and traded with the Oil Kings again. The Blazers picked up Jacob Demick, And that was a bigger piece. It was two separate trades, which I was like, all right, you guys could have just done that, but that's fine. They did, the Oil Kings received Regina's 2023 first round pick and a conditional 2024 second round pick, along with a conditional 2026 third round and a 2026 fourth round. So that was a pretty big haul for Regina, or for Edmonton, which, you know, Edmonton seems to be in that, hey, let's tear it all down. Let's start over. Let's, you know, we had a great season last year, but so many pieces didn't come back. You know, they traded Luke Prokop. It's been just such a big, okay, we're starting over. And honestly, I think it's going to work out for them. It's been nice, and they're getting all these guys to teams that where they need to go. The Winnipeg Ice broke my heart and traded for goaltender Mason Beaufait. Sharks prospect, love him to death. He's incredible. I hope he gets all the cereal he wants. If you don't understand that story, I wrote a feature on Spokane Chief, who used to be part of the Sharks organization, gave me some insider information. But yeah, so they traded a 2023 eighth for and Dawson Cohen. Sorry, they received Mason Beaufait and a 2023 eighth round, and then sent the Winnipeg Ice sent Spokane a Dawson Cohen, another goaltender, kind of fill that backup spot behind Cooper Mikuluk, with a 2025 fourth round, a 2026 third round, and a 2026 sixth round. So another big haul. Beaufait, you know, he was 0-8 before this trade, but I feel like that shouldn't be a reflection on Beaufait. Obviously, the Winnipeg Ice felt the same way and said, okay, you know what, we will give you all of this. Just give us Beaufait. He is reunited with Graham Sword, a defenseman that Spokane traded to Winnipeg earlier in the season. And I'm extremely excited to see how they do. You know, Winnipeg's a dynamic team, and they picked up some really good guys. Also, Spokane and Winnipeg, please stop trading, because Jack Finley last year and then Graham Sword and Mason Beaufait this year, I can't keep up. So, and then the Victoria Royals received a commitment from Czech forward Robin. I am going to butcher his last name because I have not actually heard it yet. But Robin Sapsek?
That seems pretty good.
Yep, I'm going with that. Who was the seventh overall selection in the 2022 CHL import draft, and that's very exciting, I think, for the Royals, who kind of need a little bit more to get going this season if they want to make playoffs. The Seattle Thunderbirds got Jared Davidson back from injury, got him back in the lineup. He's already had a really strong start to the season, and it's only getting better. Don't be surprised, though, if they bulk up a little more before the trade deadline, because the Thunderbirds have proven they're perfectly fine with just adding more guys. I told you, we have a lot going on this week. The Rangers reassigned Ryder Korzak to the Montreal Warriors on Monday, which was, you know, a big get back for the Warriors. It's going to be nice for them to have that powerhouse. You know, they already have Braden Jaeger still in the team, and they're just adding more assets, and it's going to be an interesting season for the Warriors. You know, Brett Kissio, the Lethbridge Hurricanes head coach, was named an assistant coach for Team Canada. And that's going to be really fun for World Juniors. But also, you know, Dennis Williams, Silvertips head coach, was named Team Canada's head coach for World Juniors. And I personally think it's going to be really interesting seeing how that works out, because last season, when they were missing a few guys, the Silvertips kind of went on a little bit of a slump, and it kind of gave other teams a chance to kind of catch up. Also, I'm very sorry if you guys could hear everything going on. I am at Texas Arena today. We have a Barracuda game, and so I'm here pretty early in the morning. So apologies for all the sound in the background. But
the
also,
show must go on.
Last bit of news, though, in Everett news that happened right now. The Everett Silvertips have called up three affiliate players in Julian Mays, a 2004 born forward, Carter Bear, younger brother of
Ethan Bear from the Vancouver camp.
Not going with that. We're going to just keep going.
Okay.
I have not actually checked. I'm sorry. I just saw Carter Bear and my brain said notes. Yes. Forward 2006 born Carter Bear. And then defenseman Logan Greeno. 2005 born defenseman. So that's going to be really fun to watch, you know, these kind of affiliate players and guys who maybe want to fight to stay around a little bit longer. There's been just so much going on. Like, I feel like we probably could add another 10 minutes of news. But those are kind of like the big points of the season. And it's been this week. Goodness, I'm so sorry. I can't talk today. But it's going to be another big one, I think, this week.
Yeah, we're sort of into that part of the season where teams are starting to make decisions about what they need to do with their years. And I assume that's where a large amount of this player movement is coming from. So good job by you running all that down and keeping all us up to date. Now, moving on to the three stars from last week in the WHL. Let's start with the third star. Going back to the Moose Jaw Warriors, who you touched on earlier, we've got Braden Yeager to start with.
Yeah, I mean, Braden Yeager, I feel like everyone's kind of heard his name by now, and if you haven't, you probably should, especially leading up into this draft. He has 5 points in 4 games last week with 2 goals and 3 assists. This is his first year of draft eligibility, and he is projected to go top 10, and it's well-deserved. I feel like basically everybody has him in their top 10. A lot of guys have him in their – a lot of, you know, rankings have him in their top 5 even. It's going to be a good year for him, of course. He has an elite shot. He has that NHL speed. Every time he touches the ice, he makes an impact. You know when he's out there, you go, oh, okay, Braden Yeager, we need to watch out for him. He does everything you want a top prospect to do, and last week it kind of all came together again for him. 23 points in 19 games this season with 9 goals and 14 assists. He's had a fantastic outing. Last season had 34 goals as a U17 player, which was the second most for a U17 player last year, to, of course, Connor Bedard. In fact, they have the record for the top two in the last 25 years for U17 players in goal scoring. So, you know, as much as we're talking Connor Bedard, a lot of teams who are going to be a little bit later just – off of that for number one overall pick are going to be looking at Braden Yeager and going, maybe we can add him and get that same kind of, you know, feeling out of him. And I cannot wait to see the rest of the season, but last week was outstanding for him.
Fantastic. And Yeager's one of those guys who just had the misfortune of being born in the same year as somebody who's like utterly phenomenal. And so is not getting maybe as much attention as he would have if he'd come up in a different season. So still definitely worth keeping an eye on. Now, for our second star, we'll turn to the Portland Winterhawks and Robbie Frommedelore.
Yeah, so we're going from, you know, first-year draft eligible to now a 20-year-old overage player in the WHL. Robbie Frommedelore, you know, he's one of those guys where if you'd asked me at this point last season, you know, if I thought that he was going to be one of the overagers on this team, I would have sat there and been like, he can be, but I don't know. I kind of felt in the shortened COVID season, he kind of lost a little bit of his spark, a little bit of his fire. And then last season, he kind of was dealing with a bunch of injuries and didn't really get back on his feet and back in the lineup consistently until February. But then he came back in February and he looked like a different player. He looked like the Robbie Frommedelore that, you know, we'd come to expect from him more in previous seasons. And, you know, I was really excited. He looked revived. This season, he's come out of the gates and just been like, all right, yes, I'm back. He has 27 points in 17 games, 10 goals, 17 assists. Last week, he had 6 points in 3 games with 3 goals, 3 assists. Last night, he had just one assist. But, I mean, even so, then you take it and you go, okay, well, he had 5 points in 2 games last week. Even better for him. Four of his last six games have been multi-point games as well. And he's just kind of come out of the gate and been like, all right, you know what? This is my final season here. Let's make it a good one. And it's been really nice to watch. And I personally, I feel like I'm looking for just a little bit more out of him still. But you know what? I can't say enough about his just kind of return to form.
And definitely trending in the right direction if he's making it onto the three stars list. So that's definitely a positive sign. There's only one more position for him to climb up to if he wants to do any better than he already is. Now I'll give our weekly reminder as before I announce the first star that it's not Connor Bedard because he gets his own segment later on in the show. So we will get to Connor. We like to tease you a little bit before we get to Connor a little bit later on. But this week's first star, we turn to the Prince George Cougars and Riley Hite.
Yes. Riley has had 9 points in three games last week. He's, 3 points a game in a single week. It's kind of impressive. It's fun to watch. Again, it's another one of those moments where if Connor Bedard wasn't around, it would have been one of those, whoa, he had 9 points last week. He had a hat trick and a 4-point night against the Vancouver Giants, which I'm so sorry, but you're Vancouver Giants. it was outstanding. He's had five consecutive multi-point games, which in itself is incredible. And before the season started, he had said in an interview that he wants to work on his consistency. And if you look at his season, I think he's found it. He looks great. Last season, he led the Prince George Cougars in scoring with 58 points in 65 games. As a rookie, he was 2 points shy of the team record for points by a rookie that was set by Brett Connolly in 2009. So, he's having himself a great start to his WHL career and kind of turning a lot of heads, I think. Then you look at him and you see, Riley Hite, and then you have Braden Yeager. They look like really similar players. In my opinion, Hite is probably the more creative of the two, which probably leads to some of those consistency issues or perceived consistency issues, but that creativity is going to get him pretty far if he keeps playing at the level that he has been. He's another one of those guys who he makes an impact every time you see him touch the ice.
With Hite and Cohen Zimmer and Prince George lighting the lamp and putting up tens of goals, the Cougars are off to a good start this season, and I'm excited to see how they do the rest of the way. So that's our three stars for the week. Now we will move on to our NHL team of the week, and I think we're just about finished with the Central Division here. I can't remember all of the off teams in alphabetical order by city. But this week we're doing the Nashville Predators. And the two WHL prospects in the Pred system are both a couple of names that you've already mentioned today. So dive in and tell us more about these two players that you're so fond of.
Yeah, it's almost like I liked these prospects before the Preds picked them up, and then all of a sudden now we're talking about them again. So Graham Sword, drafted by Nashville in the fifth round of over the summer, one of the nicest guys you will ever talk to, just kind of likes being that positive and good influence, which I feel like you can see it between both of these players. You're gonna see those similarities. Defenseman, he's a big guy, he's a physical player. He had 4 points in 8 games with Spokane the season before the trade. Now he has 2 points in 4 games with the Ice, all assists, but he's one of those guys that you want patrolling your blue line. He's going to be there and be that presence that is, one, a little intimidating, but also he's going to be that guy who's going to, hold that blue line down and make sure that puck is not going anywhere. And then you also have Luke Prokop, Seattle Thunderbirds defenseman right now, which still feels weird for me to say Luke Prokop's playing for the Seattle Thunderbirds. I guess it's only been about a week, so we'll get used to it at some point. 2020 third round draft pick is paired with Kevin Korchinski right now. And I've got to tell you, when I first saw that pairing and that's what they were in fact going with, I was like, all right, we're done. That's all I need to see. Everything's done for the season. We're good to go. Last season, he had an outstanding playoffs for the Edmonton Oil Kings. Watching him play in the final was honestly a treat. It was just really fun to see him get out there and just make all of these plays. He had some incredible goals too in that, I believe it was the first game. He just looked so good. And you had to keep an eye on him. Every time he touched the ice, you were just like, all right, yeah, Luke Prokop's there. Let's just follow him around. And it's just not going to settle down now that he's with Seattle.
Yeah, I followed some of Pro Cup's playoff run last summer or spring summer, and was well aware of everything that he was doing in Edmonton. But I didn't actually realize that he's as big as he is. I knew he was like a good, solid, sturdy defenseman. But when I looked up his profile on Elite Prospects last night, as I was doing the prep for this podcast, I loved the first line of their analysis of him was, Prokop is a large human being. He's checking in at 6'5 and 220 pounds this year on the Seattle website. So that's massive. And he's a right shot as well. So as a third round pick for the Preds, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's something about this vibe that kind of whispers Shea Weber to me a little bit. So let's see how that all turns out.
You never know.
You've got a couple more guys in the system with Nashville as well.
Yeah, well, I also wanted to point out that over the summer they did invite Everett Silvertips goaltender Braden Holt to dev camp and training camp. I have a little kind of inside joke, I guess, with Braden Holt, because I accidentally sent him a message being like, hey, congrats on getting invited to Minnesota Wild camp, and then like 3 hours later I was like, or Nashville Preds camp, you know, whatever. But he laughed about it. It was fine. But yeah, I'm really excited to see, you know, if they keep an eye on him throughout the season, what might happen in the draft, if they end up taking a chance with him. Braden Holt is one of those goaltenders that I love to talk about. I love to watch. Obviously he's an Everett Silvertips goaltender, so there's a lot of expectations on him, you know, following Carter Hart, Dustin Wolf. You know, he's kind of was that next guy, and Everett's kind of fallen a little bit from where they were the last couple of seasons, but Braden Holt is still that goaltender that you can throw in and just be confident that he's going to be able to do what he needs to do. And then personally, you know, they have Cody Glass, Ryan Johansson, and Nito Niederreiter playing with the NHL club right now. And personally, as a Winter Hawks fan, I feel like everyone has to just be excited about that, especially with Ryan Johansson and Nito Niederreiter being reunited on the same line.
For sure. We talked last week with Minnesota and about how strong their connections are to the WHL. And I will also say that every time the Predators come to Vancouver to play the Canucks, we always notice how many BC boys there are in the lineup. Johansson, of course, being from the Lower Mainland. And Dante Fabro came up through the BCHL collegiate route, so he didn't play in the dub, but he also is from the Lower Mainland, and so is Colton Sissons, who was a Kelowna Rocket, and Tanner Jeannot is another WHL alum who's in the Predators system now in his second season out of Moose Jaw. He had a huge year last year with both his stick and his fists, so to speak, and was in the conversation a little bit for the Calder, but seems like things have quietened down a little bit around Jeannot so far this season, but the Preds are starting to get back on track, so hopefully things will kind of pick up for them as we go along. Now let's move on. Like I said earlier, instead of doing our traditional goalie spotlight this week, Liz has asked for a moment to share her thoughts on one of the players that she loves to focus on and loves to talk about. So hit us with Dante Giannuzzi.
So it is still a goalie spotlight. Dante Giannuzzi isn't, in fact, still a goalie. But I have heard from people who have been like, why aren't you talking about Dante? Because that's all I tend to do on Twitter. So you know what? I'm going to talk about Dante. Last night, from everything I've heard, from everything I watched, you know, everyone has basically been on the same consensus that it was his best game of the season. Made 33 saves on 34 shots last night, looked fantastic. I know something when I've talked to him, he's wanted to work on is his rebounds, and his rebound control last night was probably the best I've seen it in any game that he's played with the Winter Hawks. So far this season, he is 9-1-1-0. And yes, he has a sub 900 save percentage, and you can talk about that all you want and whatever you feel like. It is what it is. You know what? He's had fantastic outings. He's looked great. And if you talk to anyone, he's keeping this team in games, even when they're already winning like 4-1. These games could be a lot worse. Or, you know, they could be like a 4-3 game or 4-4 game, or they could be losing. It's just one of those moments where I feel like a lot of people have not been appreciating what he brings to the table. And I've, you know, we've heard from fans. I've seen some things online where people are just like, why do we have him as an overage goaltender? And you know what? Mike Johnston has clearly shown in the past that if he doesn't have the confidence in a goaltender to carry them through a season, he'll make a trade. He'll make moves. And you know what? He brought Dante Genese back as an overage goaltender this season. So you know what? I feel like he knows what he's doing. You know, through 11 games with the 9-1-1-0, he started the season with a 5-game win streak. Lost one, and then he lost one in overtime, and then came back and has a 4-game win streak going on right now, and just had his best game of the season. So you know what? I'm going to sit here and really enjoy watching him. He came into the season in 2018-19, played 4 games as Shane Farkas' backup, which, you know, it was fun. It was that moment when I went, hey, who's this kid? Came back in the 1920 season while Joel Hofer was at the World Juniors and basically stole the backup job from Isaiah DeLora, who both of them kept it together while Joel was at the World Juniors. And yeah, the shortened season was a little bit rough for him, but he came back this season and has looked fantastic for everything he's been asked to do. And you know what? I will continue to talk about him and be very excited for everything that he has.
So we must applaud you also for your restraint for waiting until week 5 of the podcast to put Dante in the spotlight. The goalies elsewhere around the WHL, thank you for your consideration. Moving on, it's Connor Bedard time. We only have a few minutes left, so let's dive right in with his crazy stats and achievements of this week.
Okay, yeah, last week when we checked in on him, he had 31 points in 16 games. Connor Bedard, okay, I said he could do better. He heard me, and this week he has 43 points in 20 games. Absolutely going insane right now. He had 12 points in 4 games with 5 goals and 7 assists. He's on a 7 consecutive multi-point game streak right now. But then on top of that, he took 5 minor penalties last week, including an interference and a roughing on the same play. And it's just one of those moments when, for me personally, I'm like, you know what? He can score. He can play physical. He's taking penalties, but at the same time, he's making up for it very clearly. It's Connor Bedard. I don't know, you know, what else people want from him aside from, you know, me wanting more points for him. You know what? Next week, Connor, when we check in on you, I want you to have 55 points. Have another 12-point week. That's my goal for him. He has 130 shots on goal in 20 games, and that's shots on goal, and also the shots on goal counting in the WHL is always a little weird to me, but it's just one of those. I'm just everything about his play last week was really exciting. And then, you know, the WHL did post that Connor Bedard, they posted players factoring into their team's percentage of goals this season, and for the Regina Pats, Connor Bedard has been in on 60.8% of all Regina Pats goals this season.
That's insane.
It's one of those moments when you just want to sit there and just be like, what a time. Like, we get to watch him in the WHL.
And he's coming to British Columbia. The hype is building enormously around town. I have been credentialed for his game against the Vancouver Giants in just over a week's time on the 25th. We heard yesterday that the only media availability he's going to do is after practice on the Thursday, because there's been so much demand for a few minutes with him. So I'm picturing that they're going to have to rent out BC Place Stadium in order to squeeze in all the all the reporters that want to get a chance to see North Vancouver's Connor Bedard on his visit to his home turf, especially with him being on such a tear right now. So really looking forward to that. I do have my Twitter handle up on the video portion of this podcast today. If you have any questions or thoughts about Connor, things you might want me to ask or look into, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. My handle is pool88, which is at POOL88. And I will do my best to make that happen. And that pretty much draws us to the end of the pod for today, right? Any closing thoughts, Liz? Anything else that I've overlooked or you want to add?
I think that's all I really had for this week. I kind of tried to run through it and get words out so that we didn't go too far over this week.
We're coming rolling right in nicely on time. So well done, and tons of information. Thank you, as always, for all the hard work that you put in gathering all the details and watching the games and keeping us up to date on everything that's going on in the WHL and a really exciting and fun part of the season right now. Thank you everybody for listening. As always, you can subscribe to the Hockey News Podcast on your favorite platform and get us and all the other prospect pods, as well as the main Hockey News Podcast. And thank you to producer Connor Somerville for keeping us in line and organized and making us sound good. We really appreciate it. So from Liz and me, thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.